The people of Prineville live deep in a valley, surrounded by dense forest. It's remote now, but in the 1800s, Prineville was the first place in Central Oregon where white settlers drove out Native Americans to start a city.
It's a magical, magical place to grow up.
Steve Forrester's grandparents got here in 1902. When he was growing up in the 1970s, Prineville was idyllic.
My dad worked in the sawmill industry as an electrician. My mom didn't work. We all learned how to hunt and shoot a gun, and we all learned how to drive in the forest before we were 16, and everybody had a job and everybody did well.
Prineville was the largest producer of ponderosa pine in the world. But when the federal government restricted logging and increased protections for animals like the spotted owl, the city's milling industry was decimated. As an adult, though, Forrester still took a job with one of the few remaining mills just because he wanted to live in Prineville. Eric Klon was driven by the same devotion. He's the seventh generation of his family to live here. And out of college, he also took a job in Prineville that he knew wouldn't last.
There was always a little voice in the back of my head saying, you know, what are you doing? You want to be here, but you're in a dying industry.
A few years later, the nationwide housing bubble burst and demand dropped for housing parts made by the last mills. Lots of people lost jobs and left. Both Forrester and Klon felt lucky to land jobs at the city. Forrester as city manager and Klon as city engineer. Their chance to save Prineville came in 2009, arriving in the form of a mysterious email from a company called Vitesse.
And for the longest time, we had no idea what Vitesse meant.
All Klon knew is that Prineville's natural resources made it perfect for a new industry, the information industry, created to save the massive amounts of information people post on the web. Vitesse wanted to build a big warehouse and fill it with rows and rows of servers, servers that tend to get hot. Central Oregon's cold nights could cool them naturally. Klon remembers the first in-person meeting with Vitesse and how it felt like Prineville's last chance.
Right before I walked into our conference room to meet with their nine lawyers that had flown up to Prineville, I got an email and our unemployment rate had peaked at 23%. And then I walked into that room and I just kept thinking, we better not screw this up.
Klon and Forrester decided to outperform the other cities Vitesse was considering. They showed the company their small town could move at big city speed by responding to Vitesse's questions day and night. Their strategy worked, and in 2010, Prineville finally learned who Vitesse actually is. Mayor Betty Ropey was at the new data center's groundbreaking.
They had the big finger with the thumb up, Facebook sign, and we all pushed the button and it lit up, etc. And that's how they announced it was Facebook. That was the big announcement, it was Facebook.
It was Facebook's first data center of its own. Mark Zuckerberg was there, and Ropey had planned to give him a cowboy hat to show the city's pride in its cowboy culture.
Cowboy hats are not cheap. You know, so anyway, they said, do not get Mark Zuckerberg a cowboy hat. He does not want a cowboy hat. So I got him a hoodie. He wears hoodies all the time. So when I go to present his gift to him, I gave him a kiss on the cheek, and oh my God, he just blushed like... He just looked like he wanted to have the floor open up and swallow him.
7 years later, Facebook has two additional data centers in Prineville and six more across the world. Apple's moved into Prineville, too. It's built three data centers here. All of them sit high above Prineville's valley in huge, long, flat buildings painted pale blue and gray so they blend in with the sky. About 500 employees work in the centers, most of them from Prineville. And security's tight, so few other people ever see inside.
I can't get my congressman into Apple. Seriously.
Despite their low profile, the data centers have had a profound impact on the town. Mayor Ropey drove me around to show me all the progress.
This road is closed because we are building a new city jail. Our new, brand new elementary school is right up here on the hill. These are all new homes. You can see there's another one being built. This is our high school. We just paid that off.
Ropey says the mills taught Prineville a lesson to not rely on just one industry. So they're putting in things that appeal to lots of employers. Good roads, modern wastewater treatment, a state college outpost. Facebook's data center manager in Prineville, Todd Flack, says that's what's important about what's happened here. The city's become stable, resilient, and modern.
Really, the story in Prineville is about the real close partnership that we've maintained with the city, county, and state representatives that were very key to try to help diversify their economy and retain jobs and bring new skill sets to their town.
But now that the city's successful, officials have a lot more to think about. Like, how do you slow success down?
We can keep the small town feel. I'm sure of it. We don't want to be a big city.
The cost of housing's up, so city officials know they have to build more affordable housing. And Mayor Ropey's own granddaughter with a college degree can't find a living wage job. So the city has to keep bringing in new employers. All Prineville manager Steve Forrester can do is calibrate the development carefully. He worries about Prineville changing too much, too.
We are small town people, and we live the Western lifestyle. The quiet and the peacefulness of Central Oregon is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And to be able to make a living here to afford to be able to do those things is tremendous.
Forrester sees nearby towns that don't adapt die. And he knows he has to risk changing Prineville in order to save it. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, Prineville, Oregon.